from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Bellinger, left-handed batter. Here's the pitch. He swings. Bellinger drives one deep right center field. This may go. It's gone. Cubs strike first. Cody Bellinger with a two-run home run.
3-2 pitch coming to Pete Crow Armstrong. That one hammered in the air. Out towards center field. Going back is Varsho. He turns around. And it's gone. Pete Crow Armstrong points out towards the center field bleachers. The 2-1 to Amaya swung on and hit high in the air towards center. Left center, way out of here. About 15, 20 rows up in the left center field bleachers for Miguel Amaya.
Pitch is hit high in the air, deep left center field. You can forget about it. Ian Happ goes yard. About halfway up the bleachers, and the Cubs extend the lead. 5-2 over the Blue Jays here in the seventh. For Happ, that's home run number 21.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Felt good to see the ball leave the yard that often yesterday. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Cubs pregame begins at 12:45. First pitch, 1:20 right here on The Score. You can listen to that and see if the Cubs can make it two straight. Justin Steele will be on the mound today. But yesterday, I'm telling you, man, first off, the one that Belly hit, it was like a poorly placed curveball, 78 miles per hour, just right over their plate. And Belly just, if you play baseball, if you ever play baseball, you know, when that curveball comes, man, like you've been sitting on red the whole time, and the curveball comes and it looks like a giant beach ball. But more often than not, you never make the best contact with it because, of course, they're using it as an elusive pitch. But yesterday, it was almost as if Belly was like, thank God, this is right here. I can't believe he just did this. And then, of course, put it out of the park. And Cubs, not without a scare from Heart Attack Hector, still pulled out and came up victorious with a Suzuki single in the 10th to get him that victory. To talk about that game, today's matchup, Justin Steele specifically, and just, you know, the direction of the Chicago Cubs for the remainder of the season. We're going to talk to our next guest joining us right now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo Tire is your hometown tire. Check him out at Aturo.com. Of course, covers the Cubs for Bleacher Nation. It is our guy, good friend of 670 The Score, Michael Cerami. Michael, good to talk to you again, brother.
Yeah, good to talk to you too, especially after a win, a Friday 1:20 game. Always feels good.
Oh, yeah, those are always the best. You get to bed at a reasonable hour too, Michael. That's the other thing. But let's start off, you know, with the pitching performance of Hendricks yesterday, right? I mean, we know he is a pitcher, right? Like a pitcher's pitcher, right? He's going to find location. He's going to, you know, get you with location. He's going to, you know, pitch, you know, all the pitches that he has are going to be there, but you know, there is a level of inconsistency when it comes to Hendricks, but yesterday's performance I felt was solid from the very beginning. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's put together, you know, quietly a longer stretch of competence than I think a lot of us realize, because the start of the season was just so, you know, entirely wholly unproductive. And then there was the IL stint, the sort of bad attempt or poor attempt, understandable, but of putting him in the bullpen for a while, which just wasn't the right fit. But he's sort of come back and been a really important piece of the back of the rotation. No one's confusing him with anything close to the beginning of his career, but with Jordan Wicks hurt, Ben Brown hurt, Hayden Wesneski hurt, the Cubs needed some innings. Javier Assad missed a lot of time, and Kyle Hendricks stepped up and took, you know, fifth spot in rotation and has been going out there and giving four, five, sometimes six innings for a good long stretch now. And again, there's been some real clunkers in there. There's no doubt about that. But he has kept them in the game to the extent relative to, you know, other fifth starter in the rotation type arms for about 2 months now. And it's been more impactful than I think people realize, not just for the games that he's playing in, but giving those extra innings to preserve the bullpen for, you know, the games that follow. So he's been useful and valuable this year, just in a very different way than we've come to be accustomed to when you talk about Kyle Hendricks and the professor.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reality is, right, Michael, I mean, you need guys like that, right? At the back end of that rotation, I mean, you're not going to have five aces, but if you can get, you know, five guys that can get you before the rule change, that can get you five or six innings, then I mean, that's ultimately what you want. And like you said, leading it into that bullpen, who, you know, yesterday, you know, Drew Smyly, George Lopez, Porter Hodges has been playing, you know, particularly well. And then, of course, Hector Neris, not sure what you can get. But the bullpen, it seems as though, I don't know, what do you think it is with that bullpen? Because they've been pitching exceptionally well over the last, you know, couple of months.
Yeah, another, you know, almost hilarious thing to look at. But the Cubs bullpen has been one of the most effective for like 2 months now, which is just insane given where they started at the beginning of the year, which was horrible. It took too long for the Cubs to figure it out. I mean, they did, and that's great, but all the losses and blown saves and blown holds in March, April, and May count, you know, so it's a little too late, but they've certainly found a viable mix, with the exception still, frankly, of Hector Neris closing down games. I know he's had a stretch where he is good, but I mean, we don't have to look into advanced analytics, which I love to do, or even the high level stats to understand that every single time he comes in for a save, even if he gets it, it's going to be a roller coaster. It happens every time. But the rest of the bullpen has been pitching really well. Jorge Lopez, Tyson Miller, Porter Hodge, those three in particular have been extremely valuable in working their way up the leverage chart. And Drew Smyly has been pitching well for a while, you know, as well. It's not the mix that we thought we'd be with at this point in the year, but it has been a little bit better. And listen, Julian Merriweather, I think he looks good at times. Yeah, I don't think he's quite settled in yet since returning from the injury, but we know he can be a high leverage late inning option as well. So the Cubs have burned through a lot of arms this year, a lot. But they do seem to be figuring out at least the sixth, seventh, eighth innings well enough. And you know, I think at this point, it'd be foolish to assume that Craig Counsell is going to pull Hector Neris out of that closer role, because there's been plenty of opportunities to do so. And he did once earlier this year for like three games, and then he was right back in there. So we're just going to have to, you know, leave some extra fingernails to bite down on in the ninth inning and hope for the best, because I think the rest of the way, this is what we're going to get.
This is what we got right here. That's the truth. You know what it gives me? It gives Michael Kopech every time I see Hector Neris on the bump, where you're like, dude, can't you just give me a clean inning? Can't you just strike out the side and make me feel good, at least consistently? But, you know, hey, if you get the job done at the end, it doesn't matter. And say it did that, right? And, you know, Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'll tell you what, there is the occasional 1-2-3 inning, but it's only when he comes in for some work and the Cubs are up like six. Right. And you're like, now? You gave us the 1-2-3?
You're like, of course you do. Of course you do. But, you know, let's I was going to mention Seiya, but let's stay with the pitching staff for just a bit. You know, Justin Steele, you know what? No. I'll talk about today's game in a second. Seiya gets the single in the 10th. You know, and is WRC right now, right? Is at 126, you know, playing well. And he seems to be a guy, you know, that not an aircraft carrier, which is Ted Phillips dubbed that phrase on my show the other day, but not an aircraft carrier, but a guy that you certainly can depend on. And it seems as though like Seiya is a guy that Cubs fans can certainly lean on to be a core piece, but a pivotal, an important piece on this squad, not only just this year, but moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Seiya Suzuki has this, you know, frustrating quality where he has, in all three of the seasons, he's dealt with two things. One is the occasional injury, oblique or whatnot, which he ends up needing to miss some time, which, listen, that happens, and especially for big, strong, slugging batters, that tends to be more of a risk. And, okay, that's part of his game. You take the good with the bad. But then there's also those deep slumps. It's just that at the end of every season, when the weather heats up, he hits as well as anybody in the game. And you start to underappreciate or undervalue these stretches where he's just incredible. Really, since late May, he's been one of the better hitters in baseball. And everyone remembers from August on last season, he was like one of the top two or three hitters in baseball for that stretch. What the Cubs need to find a way to do in the future is see if there's anything they can do to keep him healthier and get him more productive earlier in the year. Perhaps that means when Cody Bellinger's playing, he plays in right field. Seiya Suzuki can DH more often, maybe a little bit less work can, you know, help kickstart him earlier in the season and keep him on the field more often. And that will, you know, certainly depend on what happens over the offseason, if Cody Bellinger stays or not, or if any of the Cubs' top prospects, the outfielders in particular, come up. But, you know, maybe Seiya Suzuki can take on a bit of the DH role. And with Christopher Morel shipped out in the Isak Paredes trade, there's a lot more of those opportunities available. So I am cautiously optimistic about that. We know he can be as good of a hitter as almost anybody. And it's just about making sure he stays aggressive, doesn't let too many strikes go by, and it stays on the field.
Yeah, and it's something that they're going to be continuing to lead on. I love the thought of, you know, moving him over. You see Cody Bellinger playing, because you do want to figure something out to, you know, have him operate at that consistent level, you know, throughout the entire season. All right, let's move over to today's matchup. Cubs trying to make it two in a row. Justin Steele on the mound today. I mean, and what can you say about Justin and just, you know, how he's bounced back from the injury earlier in the season?
Yeah, Justin, so he's had a really good stretch. So he starts the season, gets hurt, goes on the IL for a long time, comes back, has to get his legs under him for a couple starts, then just goes on the dominant classic Justin Steele stretch where we're like, yep, that's our guy. He had run into a bit of a command issue for a while. I believe he walked 9 batters in 15 innings over a certain stretch, but over his last two starts, I believe he's only walked 2 over 12 and two-thirds innings, which is much more, you know, what we expect to see out of Justin. He's attacking the strike zone often. He's not a guy that nibbles. He's aggressive. So as long as we can continue to see that out of him, I think his fastball will continue to play up from what it you know, appears to be, again, by, you know, certain pitch characteristic metrics. He's one of those guys that is just, his performance elevates him. I know it's become commonplace and almost seems cliche, but he really does remind me of John Lester a lot in the way that he battles through games. And I think that's what just gives him that edge. It's something we've seen in plenty of other players before, and we don't have to overthink it. He's one of those guys. So I'm optimistic. I just want to make sure that we continue to see his aggression in the strike zone and keep those free passes down. Especially, you know, we saw the balls leaving the yard yesterday. Wrigley Field can get windy and you know, play a lot smaller in July, August, and September. So just keep attacking, no free passes, and that way, if you do give up any homers, which he was also bit by a couple of home runs, they can at least be of the solo variety and not with multiple guys on base.
Yeah, that's what you ultimately want. And you know what? Like you said, he pitches well today, and the Cubs keep playing good defense. He could be on that path. And someone that's contributed to it, and you saw last game yesterday, is Isak Paredes, like you mentioned. You know, even in the as early as the first couple of innings, you know, he made that barehanded play in the second inning, which was a gem. And then I think in the first, it was to his left side that he had a diving stop, you know, towards the shortstop. Yeah, to the left side.
and just made a great play. And look, I enjoyed watching Christopher Morel. He was an exciting baseball player. But when you see something like that, especially in the first two innings, I mean, because then the Cubs in the first, who let off? Was it Happer that let off yesterday?
And he
had that shot down the first base line. And you're like, that the exact same thing happened, you know, on the top. But again, defense plays a role there. And so Isak Paredes with his energy and the glove, I mean, how much do you enjoy watching him at third, or if at all, over a guy like Christopher Morel at third?
Well, so, you know, I was a big fan of Christopher Morel, and I think that his upside remains enormous. And I'm, you know, hopefully now that he's been traded, I you know, this can be taken even more seriously. I think he can be, like, an amazing, truly borderline elite hitter in baseball. He just needs to get there. Not everybody has the tools to do that. He does. It's about putting it together. Now, that's obviously a very big step, and I'm not trying to, you know, hand wave over that, but I think he's a very impressive player. Isak Paredes does not have the upside of Christopher Morel, but his floor is significantly higher, both offensively and, you know, defensively. I think that yesterday we saw a little bit more of what we can expect to see going forward. His first, I don't know, 8-9 games, he was a little unsettled at third. There was, I think, 3 errors, which is not super common for him. He's a pretty sure-handed third baseman. It's not Nolan Arenado in his prime, but he's a good defender, and that was certainly part of the reason the Cubs made the switch. It just hadn't played out that way until yesterday when he made, yeah, I think 2 or 3 just outstanding plays. Diving, popping, throwing, accurate throws, strong throws, just a sort of consistent defensive player and a lot of defensive value. So it was good to see him finally do what we know he can do. He's been around the league for a while. He's not a rookie. We've seen him play third base, just not for the Cubs until now. And so I was happy to see that because I hope a lot of fans will realize that he's a very valuable player and he's going to be a big part of this team for a long time now because he has, I think, 4.5 or years more of control after this. So, wow. You know, that's a lot. He's going to be a part of this team. I mean, and in a lot of ways, the Cubs infield is relatively set in that aspect, especially if you consider Michael Busch's emergence at first base. That's your infield, you know, and unless there's some unexpected Nico Hoerner trade, I don't know if there's going to be much change there. And that's okay because these are all good players around, you know, Dansby Swanson's the oldest one of the bunch. The rest of them are 25 to 28 years old. It's pretty solid, you know, infield core there.
Yeah, I mean, and then that's what you want, right? You want from the left to the right to be solid and obviously first base. You know, you got Bush, you got Belly that could play there. So Cubs set in that part. And they're going to need all of it if they want to leapfrog some of these teams that are in front of them. Currently 4 sit between the Cubs and that last wild card spot. What do you think the Cubs do better than some of these teams that are ahead of them? I'm trying to get some positivity out there to try to figure out why they could or should leapfrog some of these teams. The 4 that are, you know, I'm not talking about the 3 actual that are in place, but the 4 that are in front of the Mets, San Francisco, Cincinnati, and St. Louis.
What do they do better? I'll tell you what.
I didn't want to stump you, Michael.
No. I don't even know if that's necessarily the right way to look at it. I would say that the right thing to keep an eye on is that the Cubs have the weakest strength of schedule remaining in the entire National League. So every single team you mentioned has a tougher schedule ahead of them than the Cubs. Not only do they face weaker teams, weaker opponents, they also have a ton of off days the rest of this month and into September. I think a lot of those were probably, you know, earmarked for potential rain makeups and earlier in the season that just never ended up happening. And on top of that, the Cubs play some Midwest baseball, some homestands, all back-to-back in a row here. They're playing, I think, 5 series in a row against the last place or 4th place teams, including this series against the Blue Jays. So that's what their big opportunity is. It's not necessarily what they do better or worse than the teams ahead of them, especially in a sample of remaining games that's pretty small. It's just that they have the schedule advantage both in opponents and travel and rest. So that's what's going to have to happen. They're going to have to go on a really, really crazy run to surpass all these teams. But at a minimum, they're at least set up for that with the way that the schedule plays out from here until, you know, October 1st.
Yeah, and the thing, the reality is, I mean, when you're looking at all of those squads that I mentioned, even if you throw Atlanta in there, you know, they're all playing sub 500 baseball over the last, you know, 2 weeks, except for the Cubs. And so, you know, since he's had his one game above 500, but if the Cubs can just rattle a couple of these off, right? I mean, obviously the sweep against Cleveland hurts them. You know, if they can get one there, they're sitting a little bit better. And then obviously they're going to need to pick up at least one more against the Blue Jays to make that push. How confident are you in that push, though?
I'm not.
You got a high pitched voice right there, Michael, when you're answering
because I always try to stop myself because, you know, especially in these moments when I'm the team isn't, it'd be crazy to be overconfident in the 2024 Chicago Cubs, and yet you look around the diamond, you're like, I kind of like this team.
Yeah.
There's kind of a lot of pieces in place that are good, and it's just like finding their rhythm all at the same time. But listen, the Cubs are tied in the win column with the Cardinals and Reds. They're only a few wins behind the Mets and only four behind the Braves in the win column. So, you know, they're right there. They can do it. The Blue Jays are weaker against left-handed pitching. They got Justin Fields today. Shota Imanaga hasn't shown any, you know, semblance of slowing down. He's had a couple of his, you know, pop-up bad outings, but every single time he's had one of those, he's settled down immediately thereafter. He's been phenomenal this year. Jameson Taillon, same thing. It's, you sort of go, well, you have a long enough track record of success dating back to the, you know, trade deadline last year, where a couple bad outings in a row are okay. The defense is looking better than ever with PCA playing every day in center. Bellinger is going to be in right. Paredes at third. Miguel Amaya is hitting. He's hitting homers. PCA has been an above average hitter since the beginning of July, and he's been well above average for the last 80 plate appearances or so. And that's not just, you know, blowing smoke. He's hitting extra base hits. He's hitting the ball over the wall. He's stealing bases. I mean, this team does have a lot of pieces. It's for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's not even for whatever reason. Maybe it's because we've just simply blown too many saves over the course of the season. And you take back half of those and it looks very different. They just haven't put it all together. But again, the schedule is very light and they have a lot of talented players. We've seen Craig Council take his stupid Brewers on crazy runs in August and September to disrupt the Cubs' fun at the end of the season. And I would like to return the favor, maybe not to the Brewers, but to whichever wild card team stands in our way. Let's go for it because they didn't sell off much at the deadline. They're not going to not go for it next year. There's nothing worth rooting for besides winning right now. So yeah, just go for it.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll look different by the end of the month. Michael, I appreciate your time, man. Enjoy talking to you. And hopefully the Cubs can pull off a victory today at 120.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Michael Cirami hanging out with us. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @Michael_Cirami. Of course, covering the Cubs for Bleacher Nation. I love that he gets to stop himself sometimes because, you know, the fan comes out occasionally, you know, when you're covering a team. But, you know, he mentioned it. You know, after this series against Toronto, on Tuesday, you got three versus Detroit, then three at Miami, three at Pittsburgh, and then to end the month, you start your series against Washington. You can't say, you know, winnable games because we know how that goes, but that's a pretty stretch. If you're trying to work your way back into that wild card spot, these next 2 weeks will certainly be your friend. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about, that was a sack right there by Kyler Gordon off the edge. That was beautiful. I mentioned that he'd be doing a lot more of that on thing, Bears 0-0 stuff. More on the way. Won't give you an update on the Bears, but we'll talk a little bit of Cubs and Sox on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Hanging out with you guys on a Saturday, man. Cubs baseball starting in just a tick. Going to get you guys out there. 12:45 pregame begins with none other than Ryan Porth. Zach Zaman, Ron Coomer got the call. You heard, who was it? Spiegs yesterday did a great job again. Somebody tried to put in the text messages again. Yeah, I know he did it last year. I was just talking about the fact that I heard him yesterday. I thought that was great. Of course, baseball coverage on The Score presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. You can use their savings calculator. How about that? To find out how much at tmobile.com/switch. And of course, for my Cubs baseball fans out there, don't forget, you can go out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo this Thursday from 4 to 5:30, and you'll be able to meet Ozzie Guillen. The Score is going to be there as well. Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area, mingling poolside. So be ready to talk baseball and have your listening ears on. Because when you talk to Ozzie, you got to be listening, focused. You got to interpret yourself. You got to do some of your own interpretations over there. But good stuff, man. Ozzie, it's always great to get a chance to talk to him. Again, that's Thursday, 4:30 at Four Winds. Excuse me, 4:30. 4 o'clock to 5:30 at Four Winds Casino. All right. I'm going to be getting out of here in a second. But Cubs today, it's going to be a good one, man. Trying to make it two straight. 1:20 kickoff. Justin Steele on the mound, 3-5 on the season, with a 3.16 ERA. You know, Michael Cerami was talking about his walks. He said 2 over the last 12 2/3, but it's actually 4, which is still not bad. But 2 in each of the last 2 games, and then, but more impressively, he 14 strikeouts in those same 2 games, and went 6 in both of those as well. So. Cubs got the dubs in both of those also, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do today. Michael pointed out that Blue Jays don't perform particularly well against left-handed pitching, so it'll be interesting to see how Justin Steele ends up handling business today, and then who will he be going up against? Well, none other than Chris Bassitt, the old Wiley veterans. 9-11 on the season, got a 4.30 ERA, and the lineup's pretty similar to yesterday. Happ and Bush at the top. Seiya Suzuki in the 3-hole, Cody Bellinger cleaning up. Isaac Paredes in at number 5, Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, Pete Kerr Armstrong, and Miguel Amaya round out 8-9 for the Cubs. On the other side, George Springer, man, when he hit that base hit in the 9th against Hector Neris, it was on a 2-1 count, and all I could think of was, keep it away. Just keep it away. Nothing too close. And then sure enough, puts it in there. And Springer, ties it up. Springer, Varsho, Vlad Guerrero Jr., 1-2-3 for the Blue Jays. Kirk and Clement after that. Wagner, Schneider, Jimenez, Leo Jimenez, as they so nicely pointed out. Going to be rounding out that lineup. So it'll be interesting, man. The Cubs got to put some together. As I mentioned before the break, you know, who they'll be facing over the next couple of series, not to say that, you know, they're going to do it, but if there was a time to get yourself within a game of the wild card spot, I mean, these next couple of weeks, you're going to have that opportunity. All right, let me go ahead and thank my guests for today. Of course, I mentioned Michael Cerami from Bleacher Nation that just hung out a couple of seconds ago. Got to thank him. Also want to thank Aaron Lemming for entertaining me with his Bears thoughts earlier today. Want to thank my producer, Tyler Farengol, for holding down things today. Baby T.
I said that's his radio name.
Who gave you that name? It was me. I always forget that I gave him that name. Baby T is hard, though.
I'll never forget, though.
Baby T, that's hard. Maybe I can get your mom. I'll call your mom up, see if she can start calling you that. All right, Cubs baseball kicks off at 1:20, first pitch right here on 670. The Score pregame beginning at 12:45. Make sure you are here for that. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.